Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports. Now up to bat, Brett Boone.
All righty, we continue. Zach Gelb here with you on the fan. Let's go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in a three-time MLB All-Star. That, of course, is Brett Boone. Make sure you check out the Brett Boone podcast. And this week's pod features an interview with their very own Boomer Esiason. Odyssey Insider calls, by the way, are brought to you by Grainger. Brett, nice to see you survive the podcast with Boomer. How you been?
Yeah, I did. Zach, I've been good. Been a bit, but that we've talked, but yeah, I've been busy.
Well, yeah, busy's always good. I know your brother's busy, but we'll get to him coming up later with the Yankees and what they're going to have in their second half of the season, kicking off a series with the LA Dodgers. That's going to be a big one that has a lot of interest. Let me start you, though, off with the All-Star weekend. Just how about some memories? I know there was one year you and your brother were on different teams, but both in the All-Star game. When you look back at the All-Star game and your experiences, what kind of memories come back to mind?
You know, I think. And I like to see when the players, current players, really embrace the All-Star game because, you know, you start to play this game. It's all you ever do. You think it's going to last forever. And it seems, in my case, you know, I played 14 years and it seemed like it was over right after it started. So I have a lot of fond memories. My first All-Star game being a kid in a candy store and every time it was beyond an honor. You know, when I was a kid, I got to go to All-Star games with my dad in Seattle in 1979 and run around as a non-player, probably getting everybody's way. But you know, I got to participate in a couple home run derbies. One was fine, one was not so good. But the bottom line is, I got to do it. I got to experience all things. It's a special time, and I get a little bit taken aback when I see sometimes somebody not really appreciate. Oh, I'm not going to go to the All-Star game. Like, embrace this. I understand when we're players, we're in our 20s and our 30s, but embrace these moments because it really is an honor to go to an All-Star game and it'll be over. It'll be over before you know it. So appreciate these times.
I know Cam Schlittler was there, but he didn't play in it. Did that kind of bug you or did you kind of understand what he was doing getting ready for the second half?
I don't know if it bugged me. I've never, like, get a hitter or two out. You know, you're here, you're young. This ought to be a huge deal for you, yo. Going to your, was it his first All-Star game?
Yeah.
Yeah, your first All-Star game. I remember getting there like, what do you need me to do? You know, I'll do anything. So it's a little odd for me. I'm not saying I was, you know, it angered me at all, but I guess my brain can't be wrapped. I can't wrap it around. It's like, I'm somewhere, I want to play, I want to get in a bat. Of course, I want to get a hit. The fact that I just play. Yeah, so it's a little bit of a different take, but I'm sure he had his reasons. Maybe the Yankees had something to do with it. I'm not sure, but yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's funny. When I was younger, Brett Boone, like, I loved the All-Star. And now when I get a little bit older, I just have such a low expectation. I thought the Derby was awesome, and I thought the Philly fans really did make it with booing the opposition and then cheering their own in Schwarber before Jordan Walker won it. But the actual game, you know, good in New York, Bellinger wins the MVP. But outside of that, I thought it was kind of a bore fest on.
Well, I think, you know, I think you look at the All-Star game, it's entertainment. This is a show for the fans. And you roll the tape back, and back in the day, man, they took the All-Star game different. You know, go back to Pete running over the catcher. That's how they were there to win. And it was obvious, a different time. I understand the current system, the way, hey, we're here, we want to make a good showing. That's how I was at it. It's an honor to be there. If I played, of course, I want to get a hit. I want to be the MVP. I want to hit a 3-run homer. But that's not why I'm there for. I'm there to play hard, give the fans a show, And really, the wins and losses doesn't matter. Of course you want to win. Zach, I know you. I mean, if we're in the backyard and we're playing wiffle ball with my kids, I want to win. But it's not that important. What's important is what starts on Friday, wins and losses for your parent club, which gets you in the postseason. That's what really counts. But going in an all-star game, get in the game, give it your all like you always, like the way you play the game correctly. But the necessary outcome wasn't that important. You know, I wanted to get a hit. But if I didn't get a hit, wasn't that big of a deal. That's not going on the back of my bubblegum card. The experience is, and those are experiences, like I said at the top, you can't really replace them.
Brett Boone here with us. Get into the Yankees first half. They're such an interesting spot because the AL is not very strong this year. They're a team that's viewed as, all right, you got to go to the World Series for it to be a successful season. So there's been some good moments. There's been some bad moments. You know, I don't think it says much, but I do believe they're one of the better teams, if not the best team in the AL. How do you kind of look back at the Yankees first half?
I think you hit it on the head. Talk about the American League, and it's really quite shocking how mediocre, and I say that broadly, because the whole league is mediocre. You know, usually when you're on a club and you're going on a road trip, oh, this is going to be a tough road trip. You got to go through X, Y, and Z. This year, I'm looking at the schedule, without the exception of Tampa Bay Rays and the Yankees, minus their recent struggles, there's no other real team in the American League where you worry about. Everybody's kind of hovering around 500. The parity's been unbelievable. I think from a fan's perspective, for the good of the game, I think it's awesome. I think the fact that you pretty much only have three teams eliminated from the postseason. So the rest of the teams are vying for a playoff spot. That keeps cities involved. I think that's good for the game. It keeps people talking. You know, and sometimes it's negative and critique, but the bottom line is they're not out of it. Where in past, you know, years and years ago at this stage of the season, a lot of cities be getting ready for football. But because of the current parity in the game, because of the current playoff system, 12 team gets in, and the mediocrity of the American League, I mean, you got teams like the Houston Astros who were dead and buried after the first month. All of a sudden, they're playing in a real average division going, wait a minute, they're letting us back into this thing. So you're giving teams like Houston a chance. You know, Chicago White Sox, I think, is a real good, a feel-good story. They've got a lot of young talent. Murakami coming over from Japan, he's been huge. He's been hurt lately. But they're the biggest turnaround team I've seen from a year ago when I was on the field a year ago with the Texas Rangers. Chicago was that city that, oh, we're going to Chicago, that'll be an easy series win. Well, they flipped the switch on that, and now all of a sudden Chicago's playing really good ball. The best turnaround I've seen in a calendar year. That being said, I don't think in the end Chicago is going to be atop that division. I think Cleveland is. And don't count out Minnesota. They pitch better than I thought they were going to. Tampa Bay, they're a team, an organization I feel for all my years watching, they need to be studied in the annals of history. Just the way they turn over year after year with their payroll being when the bottom of the baseball consistently, yet they're in the pennant race every single year. I think it's awesome. Watch this team this year led by Caminero. They're one of the best teams, not only in the American League, but in baseball. I think the Yankees are going to get back on track. Best hitter in the game, Aaron Judge, has been out for a while. Stanton, who's a real presence in the middle of that lineup, and when he's missing, just his presence is a big factor for that lineup. You got Cole back. You got Schlittler having a Cy Young year. Rodon's on the IL. He's going to be big to get back. And also Max Fried. And I think he's out doing a rehab assignment either now or in the near future. So they're going to be tough. And don't count out Schmidt, too, to round out that rotation. So their pitching's going to get a lot better as the second half continues. Yes, I think the Yankees are one of the teams to beat. Tampa Bay, and then the rest of it, up for grabs. Biggest disappointment for me in the first half, Seattle Mariners. I looked at this team on paper, six deep, starting pitching-wise. All these guys are all-stars, and they're just not living up to it. I mean, they're hovering around 500, and they have been all year, allowing teams like the Texas Rangers, right now currently in first place, and Houston to have some hope, where I thought at this stage in the season, Seattle would be 15, 20 games over 500. They're just my biggest disappointment. That being said, I think with the talent, I've never seen talent like that stay healthy and stay in that mid 500, you know, play 500 for an entire season. Now we've seen it for a half. I'd be shocked if they continue to be mediocre the rest of the season. So I got my eye on Seattle. I expect them to have a pretty big second.
Brett Boone here with us. You never want to see a player like Judge get injured, but could this actually end up being a good thing for the Yankees because they learn to navigate life without Judge and maybe it elevates some others before the big fella comes on back and maybe at some point in August?
Well, I don't ever think you want to have the best player in the game out. And I say that. I'm not going to get into the Ohtani, who's the best player.
Yeah.
If we're strictly talking offensive players in the game of baseball, the last 4 or 5 years, to me, there's no question it's Aaron Judge. Whenever you have him out, that's a huge void in the middle of your lineup. So I never think you want to speculate, say, oh, let's see how the other guys do when he's gone. No, I want, if I'm the skipper, if I'm Aaron Boone, I want him in my lineup at all times. That being said, I think they got off to such a great start, and I think right now they sit 12 games above 500. They built that cushion, so they had the luxury of struggling the way they did into the break. I think they won 3 in a row going into the break. Before then, they've lost 10 of 11, 11 of, you know, 12 of 14 or 15. Don't quote me on that, but roughly that's what the record was coming in. The good thing about New York is they had the cushion to hit a rough spot and still be 5 games up in the wild card. So that's the cushion. The rest of these teams, if they hit a skid like that where they lose 12 out of 15, they don't have the luxury of having that cushion early on. So that was a good thing for the Yankees. And I think now getting into the second half, yeah, I think the Yankees right there, bona fide playoff team. And if you can get healthy at the right time, as we see, Zach, now in the postseason, the Dodgers are the favorite. Without a doubt, that Dodger team, that's the one team that hasn't missed a beat. They're exactly what we thought they were going to be. They have the best record in baseball. They're deeper than anybody. But this postseason, even though the Dodgers have won 2 in a row, this postseason format is tough. The easiest it's ever been to get there. And I argue it may be the toughest to ever finish the deal once you get there because of all the hand grenades that are just waiting for you. And any team at the right time, they can get hot. We saw it a couple years ago with the Texas Rangers and the Arizona Diamondbacks, where the Diamondbacks were barely over 500, just snuck into the postseason. Next thing you know, they were a game away from winning the World Series. I think it's great for the game. I think it's great entertainment. And most importantly, it keeps a lot of cities.
Brett Boone, using your baseball mind, just looking at what Ben Rice has been able to do so far, I think Yordan Alvarez right now is the AL MVP, but Ben Rice is in that conversation.
Absolutely.
How about the way that he's elevated his game early on?
It's good to see. You see all the signs when a young player gets first called to the big leagues, and oh, you watch the swing, it's in there, and all of a sudden to see it come to fruition is pretty cool. He's had an unbelievable, I think he's got 29 home runs at the break. As I was in my 20s, if I had 29 home runs at the break, I think I'd be doing pretty good. So he's been the guy, and even in the recent struggles of the Yankees, he struggled a little. I think he finished pretty strong. I think he hit 2 or 3 homers down the stretch into the All-Star game, but what a year. He's gone from a really good player. We think good things in the future are going to happen to a bona fide All-Star this year and an MVP candidate, like you say. So I think nothing but positive things on the horizon for Ben Rice.
The mentality of a youngster, like you're seeing it from Ben Rice, Cam Schlittler, this dude is just, man,
lights
unflappable.
Out.
And what he's been able to do, like last year, right, got the taste of success. You wonder then how it's going to look over a full season. I know we're not fully there yet, but to go in a Cy Young conversation, to have him and then Ben Rice in the AL MVP conversation, you know, if you would have told me before the start of the year, and I know Cole had the whole injury, but if we're talking about Cy Young with the Yankee, it's Cole. And if you're talking about an MVP award winner, it would be Aaron Judge, not the.
Right. Schlittler's been unbelievable. I mean, he's unbelievable. He's one of the few guys, and he's got 2 or 3 different fastballs. He's got the cutters, got the seamer, he's got the force. But he's one of the few guys, I think, in the game. And there were a few when I played that if they were on that and things were just, you know, all this. Stars were aligned. They could get away with one. And that was that located fastball. I think Littler's guys have got that cutter, that two seamer, and that four seamer. He's hitting his spots. He can pitch an entire game and basically tell you number one's coming. I don't know which way it's going, India or away from me, if you're a right-handed hitter or a left-handed hitter. But I can pretty much go with number one and dominate. That's how good his electric and he's got that reach, you know, coming out of the slot. He's got so much extension, so that ball jumps on you, and it plays above the miles.
I'm just curious, and I know Brett Boone, I heard your podcast, Odyssey podcast, the Brett Boone podcast, by the way, Odyssey Insider Calls are brought to you by Grainger. I heard you on with our very own Boomer Esiason, and Boomer even asked you like how much you talk to your brother in season, and you guys talk all the time, but basically talk about your families. It's not always like baseball, baseball, baseball with your brother. But if Aaron hit you up and said, hey, now I really like this Anthony Volpe, but we just haven't been able to get him right. You know, having that experience that you did on the coaching side last year, what would be some things that maybe you would do to try to get Anthony Volpe moving back in the right direction?
Well, I think it's all, you know, the majority of the game is up here in our minds. And we as professional players dictate that. That's usually how far we go in the game. You know, do we get into pro ball? Do we get to be a big leaguer? Do we get to be an all-star? Now, do we get to be an MVP type of player? And that's all between the ears and having a plan of attack. When I felt at different stages, like, you know, there were always certain levels. Like first, I was one of the better second basemen in the National League when I started my career. Then I made an all-star team. Then I won a gold glove. Then I went to the American League in my Seattle Mariners. I became one of the best players in the game. And there was a gradual ascent to that. And I give a lot of credit to the players I played with, some of the hitting mentors, Edgar Martinez, I mentioned quite a bit, at the way I approached it. As a young player, I was just playing, and I always played hard, and my hair was on fire, and I was out there to beat your butt every night. But I got to certain points in my career where, how can I be better? You know, what can I do different? You know, and all of a sudden, I started talking to guys that had played at the highest level. I wanted to be the best I could be. I changed how I went about my business. I changed my workout program. I changed how I approached it. And I went from just being a guy out there swinging to a guy that had an approach. And when I was up fifth in the inning, I used to call it five deep, I would start calculating. And it was at bat to at bat. It was sometimes pitch to pitch. I always stuck with my plan. I didn't waver because I knew if I did that over 100, some games are going to be rough. Some at bats were going to be tough where I was wrong and the pitcher's right. That's kind of a cap tip. But over the haul of 162 games, I knew if I developed a program, decided what it was, stuck with it, unwavering, in 162 games, I was going to be as successful as I can. That's what helped me the most when I got to that, the thinking the game and just nonstop watching who's playing, who's pitching, what's my history with this man on the mound? Well, I'm coming up here fifth. There's a couple guys warming up at the bullpen. What's my history with them? What have I done lately? What have I done in this series? Because those bullpen guys are watching. Who's catching behind the plate? Is he going to be thinking with me? You know, who's hitting behind me today? How much success have they had against the pitcher? Because if I come up with a base open and this guy on deck's had a lot of success, they might come right at me. If he hasn't, I might know going in, they're going to pitch around me a little. This is all intel that's important. We develop usually comes with experience, but also people around you teaching you the game.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the mental component of it, because I've had this thought with Anthony Volpe, and I don't know if he could turn around his career, but he's still very young. And the thing with him is there was so much pressure being here when he got into the big leagues, and this being Absolutely. His team and right growing up as a Yankee fan. I just almost wonder if just in a weird way, New York is too big for him and he maybe needs to go somewhere else to kind of rehabilitate his.
Well, I don't know if New York's too big for him, but they did. They kind of gave him the keys to the city and they said, we don't care if you struggle. You're our future. You're our future. You're our Jeter. Those are big shoes to fill when you have to fill Derek Jeter's shoes, shortstop in New York, in the Bronx. I mean, that's a tall order. Not too many people fill them. But that's how he was kind of introduced to the Yankee and the sports fans on the East Coast. Like, he's the next Jeter, and maybe he's not particularly ready right now, but we've seen the skill set and we think he's going to be. Well, it hasn't panned out to be that way at this point. Doesn't mean he's not yet has a potential still, like you said, he's young to be a really good player. I think he's got to the point in New York, though, where it's tougher because of the history, because of what people think. And so he is so critiqued when he takes the field. He had a stint this year where he got sent to the minor league. You know, that's part of the process. We've all been through it. I've been through it. You know, very few of us big league players get to the big leagues from day one and just off to the races for a career. Those are special players. Most of us get our feet wet, we get sent back down, we get back up, we get a little more experience, and then we establish ourselves and play the rest of our career in the big league. I think for Anthony, it's tough because he knows when he takes the field, if he makes a mistake, if he makes an error at shortstop, that's not the Yankee shortstop making an error. That's Anthony Volpe making another error. And that's a lot to weigh on a young kid being in the biggest market. See how the season plays out. You know, Caballero and him. I think down the stretch, you're going to see Caballero and Volpe, and they're going to have, I don't know about equal opportunities. I think Aaron and the organization will decide that. But I think you're going to see Volpe be getting an opportunity. It's basically who's going to take this opportunity and run with it. So we pretty much have a guy we know that's going to be at short every night. Is it going to be Volpe? Is it going to be Caballero? Until somebody really defines it, I think he's going to be there for a while. Down the road, yes, you've seen players in the past. They change venues, they change surroundings, and their career takes off. I don't like to pigeonhole people and say, oh, you can't handle how tough it is in New York, you know? Not necessarily that always, because a lot of guys come up in other cities and don't, you know, let's say you come up in Kansas City and you have a rough run your first year, and then you go somewhere else and you thrive. Did they say, oh, he couldn't handle the Kansas City? No, it just happens that you came up in New York and the New Yorkers. And that's what I love about New York. I think it's the greatest. I think they're delusional fans, but they're the greatest fans on earth because they expect it's. They think it's 1956 and the Yankees are going to win the World Series every year. That's what I love about New York. That's why I love coming to New York, getting booed, telling me how I was going to get my ass kicked every night. But when you play well, they appreciate it. So I think the jury's out. We'll see how this season finishes. And then Anthony Volpe is going to end up where he is. But I think from now on, I think you're going to see Caballero and Volpe both getting ample opportunity, and I think the organization is waiting for one of them to really grasp it and run with it and say, this is my job.
Brett Boone, you talk about handling New York. You know, your brother never seems too fazed by it. He always does a good job handling the media. You know, he's been here for a while, chasing that World Series. He knows what it's like as a player as well, dealing in this market. Like, what are your, you know, I know you can't unpeel probably too much back of the curtain, but what are those conversations like behind the scenes? Because each and every year, there's a conversation in the offseason about your brother.
Oh, yeah. He's getting fired every year. Every single season, we'll have some point. And I'll tease him. I'll say, you get fired yet? I said, okay, well, they're talking about it. Might want to win some games or it's going to get louder. And we tease about it. He knows that's a part of New York media. That's a part of being a big league manager. With any organization, especially the Yankees, if you don't win, they expect a lot. The bar is high. And he knew that when he signed up. You signed on the dotted line to be the manager of the New York Yankees. That's not just another thing. That's probably the number one franchise in baseball. And that's a lot of responsibility. That being said, at this juncture in Aaron's tenure, I think as a big brother, I'm very proud of him. I think what his biggest skill, the way he handles players, They have a lot of respect. He deals with them in a very good way. Protects them to a fault sometimes. But I know that behind the scenes, closed meeting, he has the ability to firm, get his point across, but in a respectful way. I think it's very important that to have the respect at the clubhouse. You don't have to be loved by everyone. Remember that. It's not about everybody liking you or loving you. But it's about when the skipper makes a decision, respect the skipper. Right now, I'm pissed at him and I don't like him. But I respect them. That's the most important thing I found as a player going from manager to manager to manager. A lot of my managers, I loved them and respected. Some I just respected. Some I couldn't stand. But that's the nature of the business. But I think he's done a really good job in that clubhouse managing people. And that's what managing at the big league level is. It's not about X's. We have computers nowadays that can make the call, lefty, righty, matchups. That's not the real skill. The skill is how you deal with the individual, how you deal with the individual personality, the individual ego. I need to kick this guy, player A, in the butt. I get to give player B a hug. Aaron.
In terms of what they could do in the second half of the season, we know the AL, like we said, is wide open. You know, there was a time in New York not that long ago, a lot of people didn't believe in the Knicks. And they said, oh, the East is wide open. The Knicks get to the finals and they end up winning the championship, and it's been a party here all throughout the summer. But I'm assuming Cashman's going to go improve this team. You know, maybe they bring in a catcher, maybe they bring in another bullpen arm. There's been a little rumor floated out there that maybe the Giants are going to move off of Rafael Devers. Could you maybe see them pursuing Rafael Devers to come play third base or at least help out this team?
I could. Devers is one of the names I say, yeah, could be a possibility. Yankees, I think they're definitely going to address the bullpen. You know, you look at that Padres, pretty intriguing piece. You know, obviously Mason, Brown, everybody after. And depending on how the Padres finish in the next week. I think they're going to go after a bullpen arm. Absolutely. But a Devers, definitely somebody that could be in the conversation. And I think they're monitoring too. Aaron Judge, if he gets back, well, that takes a little pressure off the lineup. So you don't have to worry about that. God forbid Aaron Judge was out for a lot longer than we thought. Maybe you're more apt to go out and get a Devers. It'll be interesting to see. I think the next couple of weeks is going to say a lot because there's teams teetering. We're right on the bubble, and it's how we play the next weeks, whether we buy or whether we sell. We got to find out and be able to identify sellers, right, or the buyers and the sellers, but I think that's going to be a time that's going to be in the next week. So, yeah, I definitely think, and you see the history. The Yankees are definitely going to be active. This day and age, there's going to be a lot of teams out there that are active, too, so there's going to be some competition. Sometimes you want a guy, but another, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays might want a guy, and they've got the pieces that the other team wants to bring him in at the deadline. So it's interesting. I think it's great. I love the deadline now that it's 2 months versus a month out. It just adds more intrigue and more conversation and more fan talk. And we should do this. We should do that. I think that's what makes that moves the needle, and that's what makes everybody talk about the game and continue to expand Major League Baseball platform.
Brett Boone, the Mets have been a mess this year. Like, I'm a 20 game season ticket plan holder. You can't even give away those tickets. Like, they are so undesirable. There's all this.
My son works in the front office, and he said that to me, "Dad, I'm not giving out that many tickets."
Yeah.
If I come to visit, y'all go with.
Yeah, you got it. When you look at Lindor, there's speculation about him. Like, maybe it's time to move on. I know he's got a bunch of years left on the contract. He's in his 30s now. Maybe you move off of him, you get a lot back in return. I kind of think they'll keep Lindor, but I wouldn't be surprised if they listen. Would you be shocked if you find out in a few weeks the Mets traded Francisco?
No. And how old is Lindor now?
32.
32. So he's still at an age where he's got a few more years. You know, if we do all the diagnostics and the analytics, history says that he's got a few more years in him of high quality Lindor type production. That being said, he's got more than that left on his contract. So Lindor's not going to be the easy move and just get, you know, whatever you want in return. I think the Mets, with everything that's gone down, firing their manager, Carlos Mendoza, who I'm very fond of, but he understands, you know, what happens. It's sometimes it doesn't matter what you do. Team doesn't play. If us as players, we win games, we lose games. But when we lose a lot of games, people lose their jobs and the manager. So I don't put any of this on Carlos Mendoza. This team's put together in a way where it just hasn't clicked. There was a lot of optimism in the offseason. They went out and got the all these new guys. Pete Alonso moved on. You brought in Simeon. You brought in a Polanco who's been hurt all year. Lindor's been hurt a ton. Robert Center coming over from the White Sox, they had high expectation. Holmes got hurt early. Coming out of spring training, is this the year Senga finally finds his groove? That hasn't happened. So there's a Peralta not having the year that he had a year ago. So all these factors factor in, and it's like, well, it didn't go as planned. So I think Cohen, I never put anything past him. He's literally, he'll do anything. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Mets are very active selling in.
Odyssey Insider, of course, Brett Boone does a great job. Make sure you check out his podcast, The Brett Boone Podcast. An interview this week with former NFL MVP WFAN's own Boomer Esiason. Odyssey Insider calls are brought to you by, of course, Granger. Brett, great to catch back up with you. Thanks for doing it.
You got it, Zach. My pleasure.